Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. And while you're turning your Bibles over there, I want us to take a look at history a little bit. When you think about the life of Jesus, it just did not start or originate when he was born in Bethlehem. See, when you go back and you look in the Old Testament, God had already told Adam and Eve and the serpent that he has a plan in place. And we see that take place in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which is the first messianic prophecy. And from that time, we see generation after generation wait on the coming of the Messiah, waiting on the coming of Emmanuel, the one who is going to save the people from their sins. And as you continue to study and you continue to look throughout the Old Testament, this is what the people's mindset, and this is what they continue to look for. They kept on looking out and seeing all these governments ruling them, and they said, we are waiting for the Messiah. We are waiting for the one who is going to save us. And then as you begin to look in the New Testament, we see that Jesus was born. Not just an ordinary birth, but it was a miraculous birth, being born of a virgin. We see Jesus continue to get older, and he continued to grow, get wiser, stronger, growing in wisdom and favor, not only with just man, but also with God. Then we also see Jesus be baptized, not for the remission of sins, but to more so fulfill the prophecy. Even after the baptism, Jesus wandered the wilderness for 40 days. And while he wandered that wilderness for 40 days, Satan made a decision to try to come and tempt and trick and test our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And at every single avenue where Satan tried to tempt Jesus, Jesus defeated Satan with scripture. When you see Jesus come out of the wilderness, after he's been ministered to the angels, you start to see Jesus roll up his sleeve and start to actually get to work. And what he actually starts to do is he starts to make a name for himself, as we should say. He goes out in the highways and the byways in the communities, healing, teaching, talking to individuals. And then at one point, it's just not him. He goes and he says, I need to gather 12 other brothers to come along with me so they can learn and they can grow and they can understand what my purpose is in life. And out of all the healings and all the things that Jesus Christ did, this one right here in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48, it sticks out for me for various amount of reasons, which we'll get to in a moment here in the sermon. In Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 43, the Bible says, and a woman having issue of the blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was snatched. For a little bit this morning, I want to talk about the hem of the garment. The hem of the garment. And I want to look at four different points from this text. The first point I want to look at, there was some desperation on account of the woman. See, this woman had an issue of blood for a total of 12 years. She went to doctors, technicians, anybody she could see to try to heal her of this sickness, but to no avail. And time after time she tried, she spent money, more money, but she still ended up being sick and she still had the issue of the blood. Now, why is this issue of the blood so important? When you go back and you study, you look in the Old Testament, and you especially look in the book of Leviticus, and woman, we're not going to get into details, a woman who goes beyond that time of the month and is something abnormal, God says they were unclean. And if an individual is unclean, they are then unable to go and worship God in the temple. And if they're unclean, then any and everything they touch around them becomes unclean. So this woman, for 12 years in the sight of God, she has been unclean. Just imagine if we're unclean and we try to come worship God and God rejects our worship. We're grateful that we have an opportunity to come together to worship God in spirit as well as in truth, to sing songs and praise his holy and high name. But this woman for 12 years could not do such a thing. See, she has some desperation. See, there are times we ourselves are physically desperate to get healed. and will try any and everything that's in the world to try to heal and cure our ailments as well as our sickness. We'll go to the doctors will send us to another doctor, a doctor will send us to a specialist. Then we think we're so smarter than the doctors, we get on WebMD, we Google everything, we say, you know what, let me see if I can find an at-home remedy, like grandmama used to do back when I was younger. And then we even take it a step further and say, maybe I need to find some natural home remedies. People selling essential oils nowadays, saying, I need to get healthy, get quick. But when you look at this woman, there was nothing that she could do physically, except for one thing. And she has some determination about her. See, when we go through life and we go through sin and we have trials and tribulations, there are times we get desperate trying to fix and cure our own problems. But we got to have some determination in regards to how we are going to fix the situation that we're in. See, when you look at Luke chapter 8, you look at verse 44, it says, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. She had to be determined to say, I am going to approach Jesus Christ, and even if I don't see him face to face, if I just touch the hem of the garment, I know I will be healed. Now, see, when you have determination, you don't let the obstacles around you persuade you to go away. See, Jesus was not just all by himself. He had his 12 disciples all around him. And then Jesus was also in a mixture, a multitude of individuals, a multitude of people. And this woman did not let nobody stop her from touching Jesus' garment. See, we make too many excuses here in 2017. What excuses? Well, see, we'll start the sentence off and say, see what had happened was. I couldn't come worship God, see what had happened was my family's in town. I got to watch the sports. I got to cheer for the Dallas Cowboys coming up in this football season. I'm going to leave that one alone. I'll let y'all handle that. But we'll say, my job is more important than me worshiping God. I can't. When you keep telling yourself you can't, you never will. And this woman right here, she said, I'm so determined to be healed, I'm not going to let any and everything get in my way from touching or even getting close to Jesus Christ. My question to you is there something stopping you from worshiping God? Is there someone, something or someone stopping you from coming to Jesus Christ? And see, she didn't even say, well, I got to meet Jesus face to face and I have to bow before him. She said, if I could just touch that border, or if I could just touch a piece of that garment that Jesus is wearing, I'll be healed. Guess what? She had not only determination, but she also had faith. Her faith and her trust wasn't in her situation. Her faith and her trust wasn't in those doctors anymore. Her faith and her trust was not in the amount of money she was putting out to get healed. Her faith and her trust was in Jesus Christ. And see, when you have faith and trust in Christ, nothing on this world is going to stop you. Let me give you an example. It was ironic because yesterday, I said, I was going to go to the office yesterday morning early, say, get my sermon and stuff together, print it out. I stopped at the store, came back, tried to get in my car. My car wouldn't start. Now that's the only thing about the Texas heat I don't like. It's hot in my little car. And I'm in there, I'm trying to crank it, and it wouldn't start. And so thankfully, an individual took me back to my house, and then I had a brother from the church, he took me back to my car, and I started, and it started right back up. And I'm saying, yes, thank the Lord. I got the car to my house, and I told my wife, I said, we're just going to let the car sit here for a moment. Let it sit there. I said, let me go out here and try it. Try to start it. Lo and behold, it would not start. And so I start to think, I said, okay, maybe it's the battery. My next door neighbor, who's a mechanic, he came with the electrical cables. He said, nope, it's not the battery. And I said, well, what could it be? He said, it's probably the starter. And I'm sitting there like, Lord Jesus. I said, if it ain't one thing, my grandpa always told me, it's another. And so I'm sitting here trying to figure out, I said, you know what? I have to go preach. And I want to go preach. But maybe this is God saying, don't go today. You can go another time. Then I said, wait a minute, I must have lost my mind. God is not going to hinder me from going to preach his word. See, that ain't God putting that on me. That's nothing but the devil. And as long as the devil's in the equation, we can make any and every excuse. But when you're determined and you put your focus on God, you will not allow anything to stop you. So I got on the phone. I made several telephone calls. I said, well, let's try to get a rental car. I said, where I live at, all the rental places are closed. I said, maybe we have to drive all the way to Dallas, to Dallas Love Field Airport and get a rental car. They said I couldn't do it. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm looking and I'm scratching my head. And it's funny because thank God Brother Thompson didn't answer his phone when I called him the first time. Because I was calling him to say, hey, Brother Thompson, look, my starter went out on my vehicle. I'm not going to be able to make it. But see, God has a way of working. See, there was a brother and sister from church who we had been talking to at the beginning of the day. Said, look, this is what we'll do. Our son, he said you can use his truck. He said you can use his truck to go preach God's word. You know what I did? I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you. Brother Thompson, he called me back. I said, man, it's nothing. Don't even, it's nothing now. Because God has already taken care of it. But see, if I wasn't determined, if I didn't have my faith and my trust in God, I would have used an excuse such as my car hindering me from coming to worship God. And when you start to let all these other hindrances stop you from worshiping God, that's when things start to go wrong. See, I can fix a starter on my car. But who's to say if I didn't show up today? If I said I couldn't make it to church, that was my last day. See, sometimes we make all these excuses, left and right, right and left, and we fail to put God in the equation. When you keep God in the picture, like this woman here did, she had issues. She had money problems. She had health problems. Guess what we all do today in 2017? We all got some health concerns. We don't operate and move like we used to. Our money don't look right like it used to. But guess what? This woman looked toward God. We have to be determined to say we're going to follow God. And we're going to have faith in God. And the great thing about it is she still pressed through. Her mindset is, if I just touch the hem of the garment, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. See, we got to have that mindset. If I just come to Jesus, I touch his garment, then guess what? The trials and the things in my life, God is going to help me through. Amen. Now, see, let me say this as well. Sometimes God tells us no.
Amen.
Let me say that again, because I know sometimes people believe, well, God never says no. Sometimes God tells you no.
Amen.
And the reason why God tells you no is because he knows what you need and he knows what you want better than what you want and you think in your mind your own self. And sometimes God's way of him telling us no, it hurts us, we get upset, and we try to leave God, but God knows what he is doing. See, the God that we serve, he's never lost in surgery. He's never lost a case. He's always had plan A. There's never need to be a plan B, C, D throughout the alphabet. God knows what he's doing. And God knows every single thing about us. And if he knows everything about us, don't you think he knows what's best for us? You know, like I said, I have three girls. I know what's best for my girls. But guess what? God knows what's best for me and my household. And when I have that determination saying I'm going to follow and obey God and put God first, then things are going to get a lot better. See, the woman in the beginning, she was desperate. She had desperation to say, I need to be healed. That way I could be able to worship. But then she also developed some determination. She said, if I may just touch the hem of the garment, I will be made whole. I will be made healed. But then, see, that's the phase we go through in life. There's desperation. Then we get to a point of determination. And then guess what? Eventually, God will deliver us. See, this woman had her deliverance. When you look at verses 45 and 46, the Bible says, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and thou sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me. See, Jesus knew somebody had touched him. And even when he made that, who touched me? His disciples are looking around about like, Lord, you don't see all these people here trying to touch you, trying to get close to you, and you want us to single out this one individual who touched you. When she touched that garment, her faith healed her. And Jesus didn't want this woman to run away. See, sometimes when God has delivered us from something and delivered us through stuff, instead of proclaiming and declaring and giving honor and glory to God, we'd rather tuck our tail and run. We'd rather hide. We'd rather go back into the same situation or the same world where we've been. But when you make a decision and say, you know what, this woman was delivered from what she had, guess what? She didn't run. She didn't run. She didn't say it was because of the doctors. She didn't say it was because of the medication. She didn't say it was because of the money. But she knew who to trust. And she knew who her faith and how her faith had healed her. See, the problem we have today is we try to fix our own selves. But I still got Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, where it says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, here's the thing, acknowledge him. You have to acknowledge God for the good things that he has done in your life. Give God the honor, the praise, and the glory for all the good times. And even when you're in the bad times, still give honor, God, the honor, the praise, as well as the glory. You go back and you look at Job. Job is one of those great examples in the Old Testament. You look in chapter 1, Job didn't know the conversation between God and Satan, but Job lost his finances, lost his servants, and lost his children. And you know what? If that would have been us, let's be 100% honest. Let's be honest. If that would have been us, that would have been something that would have shook us to the core. You lost your job, you lost all your 401k and your savings, and you lost all of your children. We ready to take the towel, throw it in, and say, I quit. But Job, he was a righteous man. He rented his clothes and he wept and he continued to worship and praise God. Then you look at the next chapter, Satan appeared before God again and said, Look, Lord, you got this hedge of a protection around him. If you strike him, make him sick, he's going to curse you. He's going to leave you. He's going to forsake you. He's not going to have anything to do with you. Job ended up with boils from the top of his head to the crown, the bottom of his feet, to the point to where he couldn't move at all. Only thing he could do was just lay in some ashes. And even his wife, as much as Job loved his wife, even his wife said, Dost thou retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Now, as bad as that may sound, we have to understand the reason why she said that. See, those who ain't married, let me give you a little bit of free marital advice. Men, for a wife, for a woman, you need to be financially secure, you need to have a home, and you need to make sure you take care of her. I'm shocked no more women said amen. Okay. All right. Hey, huh? But she was speaking from a pain of hurt. The money was gone. Her home was looking like it was in shambles. And she did not have her children any longer. She was speaking from a pain of hurt. But even then, Job had to say, You speak as one of those foolish women speaks. Said, We still have to obey and follow God. Regardless. Then we see Job had his three little friends who thought he did evil and tried to help him, didn't help him in a situation at all. But when you look at the story, you look at the account of Job, we would say in the beginning, he was blessed. He was a very wealthy individual. But that trial and that tribulation, God blessed him more in the end than he did in the beginning. When you go back and you look at this woman, she went through all of those things in the beginning, but at the end, she was healed. At the end, she said, I know who I need to go see, and that's Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the next point. We see a woman's declaration. When you look at verses 47 and 48 of Luke chapter 8, the Bible says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Just imagine Jesus saying, who just touched me? Looking all around, and here comes this woman. And she had to humble herself. She was scared. She was nervous because she knew the condition she just had. And she had to approach Jesus Christ. And she declared and she told him what she did. And she told him that it was me who have touched you, Lord. But see, the great thing about God, he said, be of good comfort. Have some joy. Because, see, it was your faith that made you whole. By you believing and you putting forth that action to touch my garment, you have been healed. See, sometimes we don't want to truly test and try God. Sometimes we don't want to. You know, it's been said, you ask for wisdom. Or the people sometimes say, well, you don't need to pray or ask for wisdom. Because when you ask for wisdom, God gives you children. When you ask for wisdom, he gives you more responsibilities and things to do. When you ask for wisdom, you ask for things from God, then he's going to pile up more and more and more and more things. But if you do not try and test God to see what he is capable of, how will you truly ever know the blessings that God's going to give you? How will you ever truly know? See, the great thing about the life right now, we're able to actually sit down and reminisce on our past. We could look at all those things that we've done wrong beforehand. We could look at all the times we said, man, I should not be here right about now. I know myself, for one. There's times, look, when I was younger growing up, I grew up in the church. The last thing I thought I was ever going to be was a preacher. The last thing. I thought I was going to be a DJ. I thought I was going to be the next P. Diddy. That's what I thought in my mind. That's what I thought I would be producing. I was going to do it all, and I was going to be touring the world. God had other plans for me. See, sometimes when we're in the thick of it, when we're trying to live a certain lifestyle, God is still there working on us. And sometimes we got to knock our heads hard, not on carpet, but on a solid brick wall several times before our light bulb ever goes off, before we ever learn what we actually need to do in our lives. But here's the thing, God is always allowing us the time to get our lives right. God is. But it's going to come a time where time is going to truly run out. Imagine this woman with the sickness, with the health problem of blood. Imagine if she did not take the opportunity to even try to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. We don't know. We can only imagine what could have happened. She could have died that same day. She could have been have the issue of blood for years and years to come. But because she made a decision right then and there to say, I'm here about Jesus. Jesus is in town, and I'm going to see the master. I'm going to see the chief healer. I'm going to see the chief doctor. I'm going to see the one who can heal me from everything and make me whole. That's the one I'm going to see. By her putting forth and putting it into action, she was able to be made whole that day. Well, Brother Jackson, that sounds all good, fancy. Okay, you got 4 points, you know, but how does that really apply to my life today? See, when you're in a situation of sin and you know you're in sin, you get to a point you're going to get desperate. You're going to get desperate to say, I got to get out of whatever situation it is I am in by any means necessary. And sometimes when you start to develop that mindset on the negative side, you start to get yourself further, deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. But you got to have some determination. See, this woman, she had faith. She acted on that faith, and her faith was in Christ. And think about it this way. If she would have went and touched one of the apostles, may not have been healed. If she'd have went to the scribes and the Pharisees and said, pray for me, heal me, wouldn't have been healed. But she went to the main one, ignored everybody else around her, and went to the main source that was able to heal her on that day. That's us today. You got to have a determination in your mind to say you want to change your life. You want to get your life back on the right path. You want to get your life on the proper path, and that's getting closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. See, when you make that determination and when you act on it, you can be delivered. And once you're delivered, then guess what? You're able to make a declaration. Now you're able to show people that my life has changed because I've drawn closer and closer to Jesus Christ. And since I've drawn closer and closer to Jesus Christ, I'm going to strive to follow behind him and follow his word. I'm only 32. I hope I don't look older than what I am right now. But I'm only 32. And even when I go back home and I talk to some of my former friends, I say, you know, while I'm in town, I'll be preaching at, you know, whatever congregation I'll be preaching at. Why don't you come out and hear me preach, you know? And they'd be like, well, I can't do it. I said, well, hey, that's your prerogative. They said, man, I remember you used to do this. I said, hey, I'm not going to lie. I used to do all those things. And in my mind, back in those days, I was the best at it in my mind. Nobody was going to do it better than me. But that's the past. I put those things behind me because I'm trying to look and I'm determined to say I'm going to follow Christ. See, this woman, she ignored everything around her and she had determination to say, I'm going after Jesus Christ. And I don't care what you put in front of me. Christ needs to be our focal point in our lives today. I encourage you, if you're not a child of God here this morning, be determined to say you want to become one. Say you want to put them on in baptism. See, the great thing about baptism, it washes away all of your sins. All those things I used to do back then, thank the Lord and thanks be to God. God does not hold those things against me because they have been washed away in the water. But if you don't become baptized, if you don't become a Christian, if you don't understand and hear what the gospel is, how Christ died, how he was buried, how he rose again on that third day, if you don't believe it, if you don't make a decision to say you're going to repent, if you don't confess and you don't be baptized, you will not have salvation. See, the great thing about the Lord we serve here today, don't look at tomorrow. Majority of us all in here is dreading tomorrow because tomorrow Monday you got to get ready for work. But don't look at tomorrow. Don't look at next week. Don't look at next month. Don't look at next year. Look at right now. Tomorrow's not promised to us. Go into the hospitals and see how many people are dying left and right. Go out to the graves, to the cemeteries. I'm pretty sure those individuals say, I'm going to be here tomorrow. And lo and behold, they're not. Tomorrow is not promised to anybody here. What is promised is right here, right now. If you're not a Christian, why not? What's stopping you? What's hindering you? Be like this woman. Don't let nothing stop you from becoming a child of God here today. Amen. Or you may be a child of God and say, my life has been in shambles. I've been being pulled back into the world, and I need to make sure I have the determination to continue to follow God, to continue to follow his word. The great thing about the Lord we serve, he is always ready to accept us back. God never turns his back on us. God is always standing and he's always ready with his arms wide open, ready to welcome us back. We have to make a decision.